Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You can go ahead and find a seat. If you've just found us online, hey, I'm Pastor Tim. It's good to be with you on this Easter morning. And those are wonderful, wonderful words. We can say them again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So what? Who cares? I mean, you're here at Easter, and if you're like me, you've probably been to many Easters. I'm 36 years old, not to date anybody, but baby face, right? 36 years old. I've probably been to 35 Easters somewhere in there. I was probably sick once, so I was probably at home celebrating Easter one of those years. But if you're like me, you've heard this story over and over and over again. I mean, Jesus is crucified, He's died, He's risen, we come to church, and then we go home. And if you're like me, you've heard this story over and over and over again, and you look at your own life and you ask, so what? That's where we want to go here today. And I just want to share these verses from Ephesians. We heard them a little bit earlier. If you found us online, you go to BibleGateway.com and go to Ephesians chapter 2. That's where I'm at here today, all right? Ephesians chapter 2. And this is what we hear. And you were dead in the trespasses and your sins. Now, dead means dead. There's no joking around about that. I mean, there's no life. You're dead. There's no pulse. There's no heartbeat. There's nothing. And that's what it says. God's word says that you are. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once lived. And this is how you once lived, following the course of this world and following the ruler of the power of the air. Question, who is the ruler of the power of the air?
The devil.
His name is?
Satan.
Now, everyone, count of three, we say Satan. One, two, three.
Satan.
I was like, okay, church lady, Satan. All right. Yeah. And that is the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So in other words, what's that saying? It's saying that if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, that in you, you have Satan himself as your heartbeat, kind of orienting and ruling your life. And it's not that you asked for it. It's not that you signed up for it. It's just the way it is. And then we come to verse 3, among whom we all once lived. So all of us, we once lived here with that, with the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. So it's body, mind, and spirit. It's all there. And we were by nature children of wrath. Say that with me. Children of wrath. That just sounds gnarly, doesn't it? Children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So none of us escapes this, okay? None of us escapes this. So we know who now, who the prince of the power of the air. Again, his name is?
Satan.
And that becomes the tension that we hear the story, we leave here, and yet we exit these doors, we leave this building, we go into our homes, we get back in the cars, and the same fights, the same stresses, the same anxiety, the same things that freak us out day after day, they're still there. So, happy Easter, so what? But I think this whole concept of the ruler of the air, the ruler of the way we live has a deeper significance for us. Anybody remember Sidney Poitier? Sidney Poitier, first African-American male, right, to win an Academy Award. He wrote a memoir called The Measure of a Man. And so this is how he defined measuring up as a human being, as a man or a woman. This is how he defines it. The measure of a man is how well he provides for his children. And I would suspect many of us would say that's a good thing, right? Right? Raise your hand if you think that's a good thing. I mean, yeah. Okay, just a few of us agree. I mean, it is a good thing, all right? It is a good thing. But the question here today, as we hear the Easter story again, is so what? How do you define the measure of a man or the measure of a woman? How do you define the measurement of your success in light of Easter? Now think about it, because depending on how you answer that question, if you're like me, you fall into one of two categories. You can say, wow, I'm doing really well, right? However I'm measuring myself, I'm doing pretty well, which kind of leads us into this sense of false pride. Right? Hello, Fox Valley. I'm doing really well. Like, life is comfortable. Life is good. Nothing really to complain. I mean, I'm not like those other people. Like, we get this also false sense of pride. Or to the other extreme, we have this, I'm not doing so well. Life kind of stinks. It's hard. And so if you're like me, you fall into this false sense of self-loathing or self-pity. So here's a question for us to think about this morning. What are you using to measure up? What do you use to measure up? Maybe for you, it's your grades. It's your grades. You're using your grades to measure up. You're Mr. or Miss 4.0 students, right? And you're freaking out because you have final exams coming up. You might have placement tests coming up, ACTs. You're trying to get into college. And man, you only have a 4.2 out of a 5.0, which, by the way, you can only get a 4.0. So your math needs to kind of be reworked a little bit. Like, yeah, be quiet. All right. Or maybe for you, you measure yourself by your net worth, right? How often do you check your portfolio? How big is it? 7 figures? Kind of impressive. Or maybe for you, it's your social media presence, right? We all know this. You take out your smartphone and you have like what you think is the best post ever and people start liking it. It's like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. But then nobody likes it. It's like, man, I'm such a loser. You know you do it. Come on. Or maybe for you, it's your title. All right, you're working hard. Like it's a good thing. You're working hard, but this is what's driving you. This is how you're measuring you. And let me tell you, the only people who really care about your title are people in your own organization. Think about it. The only people who care about your title are people in your own organization. Nobody else cares. But this is what drives you. This is how you measure yourself, your title. Or maybe for you, this is where I'm at. I'll just, point of honesty on Easter, your kids' accomplishments, right? Anybody notice like how your mood fluctuates, especially if you have kids? Like in my house, if my kids, they make the bus, it's a good day. Can I come to work happy? And everybody here at the office knows it. Like, it's a good morning, right, parents? But then, like, something happens and Mr. Grouchy Pants comes home and my joy just kind of does a nosedive, and by dinner time and bedtime, like, nobody wants to be around you, right? And, maybe for you, it's how your son or daughter, how they pitch a game or how well they do on their tests and their report cards, and you are so driven by your kids' accomplishments. And that's how you measure yourself, how you measure success, your self-worth. Or maybe it's your busy schedules. I'm also guilty of this, right? The busier you are, the more important you feel, right? I have people come up to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, you're so busy." And I'll be honest, yeah, it feels pretty good. Like, yeah. But here's the truth, all right? All of us who have workaholic tendencies, our schedules are ruling our lives, are they not? And this is especially important for parents, all right? Your kids' schedules perhaps are ruling your life. But for some of us, that's how we measure up, right? That's how we measure our success, our self-worth. Here's another one, our looks, right? Our looks. You get on the scale and you do one of two things. You go, whoa! Or maybe you get on scales like, whoa. And that number on the scale defines you more than the words of Jesus that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But that's how you might measure yourself. Or as we were talking in the office, I had to have one more, all right? I had to have 8 to fill up this entire ruler. Maybe for you it's Game of Thrones. If you don't know what that is, just ask somebody who's laughing, all right? It's kind of the next Netflix binge, all right? If you're not into that, just go watch The Office and you'll kind of catch on what that means. But maybe it is Game of Thrones or whatever your Netflix fancy is, and that's what's ruining your life. But here's my deep Easter thought, all right? Just kind of follow me with this. Could it be that we paid too much attention to the man and not enough to the measure? Could it be that we paid too much attention to the man or the woman and not enough to the measure? I mean, we spend all of our time and our energy comparing ourselves to our neighbors and our coworkers, our classmates. And we look at how we're measuring ourselves and we have to ask the question, is this worth it? I mean, in light of Easter, is it worth it? I mean, they're all important. Would you agree? They're all important. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? I mean, is your grade point average really worth measuring who you are? The ruler of the world would say it is. The ruler of the world would say your net worth is who you are. So just work a little harder, and if you can just get a little bit more net worth than your neighbor, your coworker, then you're doing pretty good. But here's the Easter truth, okay? Here's the Easter truth. What if it wasn't so much about what we did, but more about who we are? What if our worth came from not from what we do, how we measure what we do, but from who we are? Because here's the real measure of the man. I'm glad you asked, all right? Here's the real measure of a man or a woman. The real measure of a man or a woman is how well we measure up or align to God's will. That's what the Bible says. How well we align or measure up to God's will. That's the real measure of a man or a woman. And what we realize is when we begin using God's ruler, God's measuring stick of the measure of our lives in light of Easter, what happens is that God's measuring stick is pretty ruthless. Because on His measuring stick, we would be like a zero, right? Each and every one of us. We'd be like a zero. Turn to somebody around you and say, "You're a zero." Everybody feeling a little awkward now? Happy Easter. But it's true, isn't it? If God's will is the measurement in God's eyes of who we are, then you and you and you and you and you and you and me, we're all zeros. We're all zeros. We don't measure up. And so what do? We try to replace that with, well, the things we can control, right? Our grades, our net worth, our titles, our kids' accomplishments, our looks. And what we realize, no matter how hard we strive, no matter how hard we work, we live in this brokenness and anxiety that drives us. Like, think about your own stressors, your own anxieties. I mean, you can probably point to one of these signs here today. But this is what God does, all right? I'm going to continue reading. Chapter 2, verse 4, if you're following along. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love by which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Remember, we were dead. This kills us, by the way. If you feel like you're dying, it probably is because you're trying to measure yourself here. All right. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together in Christ. Turn to somebody around you and say, "You are alive in Christ." That's a better Easter message there. By grace you have been saved. And it gets better. God raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me paraphrase that. When God looks down at you and you're measuring yourself up here, in light of Easter, He says, enough. Enough measuring yourself with your grades. Enough measuring yourself by your net worth. Enough measuring yourself with your social media or your title or your kids' accomplishments or your schedules or your looks. Enough! Because don't you see, my son Jesus, he's been enough for you. Don't you see, enough is enough. And Jesus, He didn't care about Game of Thrones. I mean, He just didn't. He didn't care about social media. He didn't care about, he cared about one thing. One thing, and it was His Father's will, which He did perfectly. And He gives to you and me for no reason. No reason whatsoever. See, this is the power of the resurrection. Not for the future, alright? It's not just that someday we die and we get to go to heaven. This is the Easter reality. This is the power of Easter for today, folks. The Easter power for today that compared to Jesus who takes our sin, who takes all these measures, so you and I, we can stand next to each other and say, hey, you're a zero, I'm a zero, we're all zeros together. But as Paul would say, I've been crucified with Christ. This is why I love this cross back here with the pictures of people like you and me. And you can come up after the service and see if you can find your picture, all right? Because we have been crucified with Christ. All these things that we think that we've measured up have been nailed to the cross of Jesus. And it's no longer we who live. It's not no longer these things that live, but it's Jesus who lives in us, who died and rose again for us. Remember Jesus on the cross, what he said? Father, forgive them. How's he end it? For they know not what they do. Think about it like this. Father, forgive them. This is his plead for you and me. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're measuring. Father, forgive them. They don't know that they're measuring with the wrong ruler. And then the question becomes, so what? So how did Jesus set us free from all these things? Check out from Colossians, all right? We're going to read this together. Together we say, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Jesus. Hey, see, it's you are together with Christ. You're not just dead on the cross with Jesus, but you are alive in Jesus. Who is what? The head over what? Every ruler. He's the head over all these things that want to rule our lives, all these things that we give the power of our own lives to. Let me say this. Because of Jesus' resurrection, the only power these have over us are the power that you give them. It's true. Because in Christ, he has become the head over all these rulers, all these authorities. And then he repeats himself. This is to another church, to another group of people. He says, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But God made you what? Alive in Christ, all right? For he forgave all our sins. Turn to somebody and say, he forgave all your sins. I mean, that's the best news you might hear all week, all year, for a lifetime. That he canceled the record of the charges against us. He canceled all of this. He changed the measuring stick and took it away. How? By nailing it on the cross. He took all these things and nailed it to the cross. They no longer have the power to rule your life. And in this way, he disarmed all these things, the spiritual rulers and authorities. In fact, he did more. He shamed them publicly. How? By his victory over them on the cross as he comes alive. I mean, friends, that's the power of Easter. It's the power of Easter, not for the future, but for today. As we walk out of this room, out of these doors, we know that the power of these rulers are waiting for us. Do we not? Just because you came in here this morning doesn't mean when you walk out, all these things go away. You still have to take tests this week. I'm sorry, kids. I mean, you still have to get kids on the bus. You still got to get grandkids and make sure the family's happy. I mean, turkey or ham. We're not going to take a poll, but you got to make sure you're set for retirement. All these things are waiting for you as you leave this place. But this is my prayer. This is my prayer. And it's the words of Jesus. That becomes my prayer as we leave this place. That we have been crucified with Christ. That's no longer we or I who live. But it's the risen Lord and Savior who is the ruler over all these things that lives in us. That these have no power over us anymore. And Jesus puts it like this, all right? In just about 20 minutes, you're going to be walking out these doors. And he says, the ruler of this world is coming. Say that to somebody. The ruler of this world is coming. And you know how powerful these rulers are. Because you've given them power. You've allowed them to dictate and direct your life. But this is what Jesus says. They have no power over me. Say that with me. He has no power over me. I mean, these are the words of Jesus. Think about it. These things, they might rule our lives, but Jesus says, they have no power over me. They may try to destroy us. They might try to to destroy us with their lies that they tell us that we are somehow a net sum of all the worth that these have promised to give us. But he says, no, no, these are coming and they have no power over you. They may try to deceive you into doubt. They may deceive you into a dark depression, but they have no power over me, he says. They may try to take your life, and even though they might succeed in taking your life, he says, they are coming, but they have no power over me. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived this Easter. It's not just an Easter promise in the morning when you die and wake up in heaven. No, it is the Easter promise for today, for the present. And we do not leave here. I do not want us to leave here thinking that we are somehow dead to all these things. No, we are not dead to our past. We are not dead as victims of some present circumstance, but rather we want to leave here. And it's true, we do leave here alive in Jesus, our risen Savior, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We pray, Father, this morning that this powerful message, God, that you have died, you have risen, that you are victorious over all these things, that you say they have no power over us. If we are in you, then we can lay these things aside because you have nailed them to the cross. You have put them to death once and for all. And they may take our minds, they may take our souls, they might take our bodies, but we know on the other side of that, no matter how hard the battle is, no matter how hard the war is fought, we know that on the other side of all these things is a promise that you have guaranteed for us in your life, that we have not just been crucified with you, but we are alive with you. Oh God, let this message sink deep into our bones this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, for those who are sick, who are battling diseases, who have allowed diseases and cancers and all the other illnesses to define who we are, God, we pray against them in Jesus' name. We ask for healing, whether it's now or later, or certainly when we see you face to face in heaven. Lord, come, send your healing power among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, for those in our community who are far from you, even in this room, Lord, for those who still measure themselves by all these things, we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead them this morning to lay them aside, to say we're zeros apart from you, God. We are zeros, and yet in you we are made alive through your death and resurrection. May that be so, Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands we place all these things and all the people for whom we pray, trusting in your love and mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. God's people would say, amen. Go ahead.